Good morning, everyone. If you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, that's where we'll be. Let's begin reading there in John chapter 15 at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it had hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but they have no excuse. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done the things, If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned, but now they have seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. All right. You'll remember last week that Jesus holds out the great and marvelous promise that we'd be called the friends of God. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends. And he chose them out of the world, and just like he did Abraham, he just plucked him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and that great, great, statement that Abraham was a friend of God. And thereafter, the Jews knew that one of the marvelous things, I mean marvelous things about the Jewish people, that they would be his friend. A nation of people that would be like Father Abraham. And all this, of course, Jesus brings us right down to the disciples. And all of this, if they walk in his commands. And what is that? And so what is that command? Jesus lays it right strong on them. Do you think I'm being over much about this? Loving one another? It's so simple. Isn't it simple? It must not be. It must not be easy. But he just says it. This I command you. Love one another. So, but the world, we have this new little fellowship that are called the Friends of God. And I should have mentioned it last week, and I meant to. There's a whole denomination that calls themselves Friends. That's a wonderful name for a group of people, the Friends. We have the Disciples of Christ. They worship there on Mound Street. And then we have Baptists. They want to only baptize believers. That's good. And then we have Methodists who have figured out ways to be godly, and they have methods that they're going to be careful about holiness. That's good. We have the Nazarenes who want to be faithful to Jesus from Nazareth. We have all these names we call one another by. I like Friends. It's not a bad name. I guess this isn't a what do they do in businesses? They have whole parts of their business, of the corporations that do public relations. That isn't what we're doing here. But it's a good name, friends. Jesus said, you're my friends. So, well, friendship with God, starting with verse 18, entails a reality that the disciples must come to terms with. The world's hatred. Steve, I was sitting right over there. Steve and I both, I usually come up kind of late, but Steve's usually already here, but he just had driven in, and so he came over and said, what do you think we ought to sing? Should we see something? What are you teaching on? And I said, the world's hatred of God's people. And he said, well, the subject index at the back of the hymnal is kind of thin on that. It is, isn't it? And so isn't it good that the Lord warned us about it? I mean, we have this whole section that just warning Will Robinson. The world's going to hate you. Because we really, no one likes to be hated, and everyone's kind of shocked by it. We like ourselves. And so why doesn't everybody else like us? But they don't. And Jesus, this section is all about the hatred of the world. He says in verse 18, you know that it has hated me before it's hated you. Yeah, this is he's just stating a fact. It's probably, you could read it like this. It's a mere statement of fact. You know well enough that it hates me before it hated you. Or it could be a command. Bear this in mind. Take note of this. I want you to know this. That the world hated me before it hated you. Jesus calls them to remember the last 3 years. Has it ever been easy for Jesus? I mean, from the very start, you have this conflict. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Everything he did, he could do something gloriously wonderful, and they just push back. This isn't a democracy. Because democracy said in the instances of this is that Jesus was a failure. They hated him. And so he asked them to remember it. He says, just remember that they're going to hate you, but remember the constant opposition. And he notes here, note the word world. And I've told you this before, but it's always kind of good. It's a really nice word because it's found its way into the English Bible. The word cosmos, you know. Cosmetology. That's right, isn't it? Not the stuff about how to put on makeup. What is that?
Cosmetology.
Anyway, cosmetology. We're talking about how you think about the universe. And Jesus uses this term world. It's the present age. The present world system. I tell you, it always made me nervous that George H. Bush talked about a new world order that he was establishing. And that kind of made me nervous because I don't like world orders. I'm not talking about politics here. I mean, it just made me nervous because I know what the biblical teaching is. The biblical teaching is that there is a world order. And it was always, I shouldn't say always, 99% of the time it's a negative, the world. Love of the world, the things of the world, etc. And here the world hates you. In John chapter 1 in the epilogue, when John, the first part of the Gospel of John is all about setting the stage for the gospel account that will follow. And he says this there, John the Apostle, and he's just full of the teaching of Jesus here. And he says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and they that were his own received him not. This is the world that he came into. The world had become alien territory. The things made rejected the Maker. "We hate you," they said, essentially. The world, the planet Earth, and all those that dwell in it, the great masses of mankind, "We hate you." This is the teaching in this passage. Whew. It is kind of thin. That's not in the subject index, is it? The things made rejected the Maker. And so in verse 18, if the world hates you, and they do, remember, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 20, remember. He wants them to remember this fact, or remember the constant pushback of the Jewish people as he came among them. And really everyone, Roman, all of them, they all pushed back. And you know, it's good that we remember. He wants us to know this. Verse 18, it says, to know this. He wants us to take note of it. Or you might say, remember it. And I think it's important that that's there, because we so easily make home here. I don't know where it comes from. We'll see if Steve is good as his sweet wife. Make no nest in the trees of this world. Well, there's a great one. It does sound like Rutherford, doesn't it? But we are like birds that just, in this world, we just constantly finding places to make our nest. And as soon as we settle down, we start straightening things around. Any of y'all ever go camping? Really? Good. Carolyn went camping, just to note that. But you know, I loved camping. But I liked a neat camp. I made sure I got rocks out there and went around that fireplace, and the tent was over here and kind of swept out and everything clean and neat. We make our nest here. And humans, by our very nature, we make our home here. You read the accounts of the settlers that came from back east into Texas, and the travelers that would come through East Texas, and they would come and they would look, and there in these great woods would be a little cabin, all neat and clean and orderly. Someone had put a nest. And Jesus wants us to see it. It's alien territory. No, we are nesting by creatures by instinct, but this, where we nest here, hates Jesus. And they will hate us. Alien territory. And then here in verse 18, he says, it hated me before it hated you. Jesus led the way. Listen, if we're going to follow Jesus, he's going to lead us right into trouble. Did they tell y'all that when y'all got saved? Jesus, what's that first spiritual law? God loves you. It's a wonderful plan. Yeah, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That isn't in there. But it's, I think the Campus Crusade for Christ would not deny what I'm saying here. But nevertheless, it's not something we lead with, do we? But we must come to terms with it. God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our life, and part of that is to draw the ire of the world. Note here that the Jews are part of the world. And I mean, in this whole context here, he quite literally, it's the Jews that are one doing the hating, aren't they? And just later on, I think in chapter 16, doesn't he say he'll throw you out of synagogues? This all has the setting of Israel. And as I thought about that, it's a telling thing that here the Jewish people, God's friends, supposedly, and that was their calling. They were meant to be the friends of God, and they were to follow their father Abraham. But here, the Jewish people here are part, find themselves as part of the world. Whew. This is a terrible truth. Even the chosen people of God, no matter what their tribe, Jew or Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, Roman or Greek, Texan or New Yorker, can find themselves in the world. And be called a worldling. Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian. And we claim these, we put these titles on ourselves and we choose them because they're wonderful titles. But somehow down the line, I can remember a little church down there on South Street, big church, that in the midst of that wonderful group of people, there were people that resisted God and hated Him. They hated those in their midst that loved Jesus. They hated those in their midst that stood for Jesus. And though they were fine Baptists, were they part of the world? And so this thing about the Jews being considered part of the world doesn't just warn, that doesn't just become anti-Semitism. Everybody can find themselves shockingly resisting God, hating God, if we're not careful. Did you ever dislike God and His ways? Can you look back at a time when there's times? I'm telling you, there could be very, I mean, even now in our, well, I think we're, this little group here, I could say you're strong and you're good Christians, but periodically in our life, we need to watch out. But we'll find ourselves in the wrong camp. It's the Bible, so wonderful, and it's just so good that Peter was there to use as an example. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So the Jewish people found themselves as part of the world. But I don't care what group you draw a circle yourself into. That's usually how we do it. I'm the end. Y'all ever draw yourself outside everybody? No, we always draw ourselves in. But that group can find themselves labeled the world by God Himself. That system that stands in opposition to Him and to everything He does. Verse 19. There's a telling phrase there, and I like the phrase, and I've told you this before, but I'm going to do it again. The world would love its own. Verse 19. If you were the world would love its own. That phrase, its own. It's the little word that, it's called idios, is the word in the Greek, but it's the word we get, we use the word idios, and we kind of transform the word into the English language, and we call someone what? An idiot. It's a very pejorative, would you say? That's pejorative. But an idiot or a crazy person is one that is so consumed with self they have no context to the world about them. That person is mad. And so I like that, but I like the expression because it so tells what it means here about the world loving its own. The world loves its own tribe. It loves itself. It's tribalism. Its own countrymen. And it's like this phrase. Have you ever had anybody say to you, "You're not from here, are you?" You have? Politics? Was that what you said? Hicks. Call us Hicks. Yeah. Well, we can call each other Hicks, but we don't like being called a Hick. But anybody here born in Nacogdoches? Glory be, there's only one. I've lived here 35. How long we've been here, Steve? Long. 38 years? Oh, but we're still not from here. We are not part of, someone would say to us, "You're not part of us. We'd love you, but you're not one of us. You're own." And so I love the expression because it's very telling. In Jerusalem, you trot down to Jerusalem, and what do they say to the disciples? "You're a Galilean, aren't you? You're not one of us. You're not a high-class citizen. You're not from New York or Austin." You're not in our clique. Cliques are you normally, we have cliques. Everybody, there's all over the place. I mean, you know. But what it means is, no love for you. You're on the outside. You're not one of us. And therefore, the world hates us. We are not on the inside. They draw a circle, and that circle doesn't include us. You're not one of us. If you were one of us, we'd love you. We'd put our arms around you and say, "We've been missing you, see. We hadn't seen you in a while." Do you get the point here? This is this drawing of tribes here. And there's this tribe called the world that hates Jesus and hates the Father. And as a result, who does it hate? You. Yesterday, little Kilseth and I were at the old university building. We were docents. I don't know what that means. I'm going to have to look that up. I know what it means, but I'm going to have to look up where the word comes from and all that. But we were telling the story of Nacogdoches in the old university building, and we talked about how the old university building was the headquarters for the Reconstruction, the people that came down from the north and came to punish the Texans for doing what they'd done in the war between the states and fixing everything. They were called Reconstruction people, and they had an office there at the old university building that they finally went home. But what did we call those people? Carpetbaggers. Stinking, nasty carpetbaggers. You're not from here, are you? You're not one of us. I bet you they were glad to go home from Texas. I tell you what, I bet you they got some cold shoulders from us. The world gives cold shoulders to Jesus. Galileans. Did anything good come from Nazareth? Verse 19. Well, I better hurry up. Okay. the world, this the second half there, verse 19, the world hates you or detests you. How about we throw that little word in there? It detests you. I hate it. I hate to say it. But I know someone here that hates mayonnaise. Detests it. She shudders when she thinks of it. The world shudders at Jesus. They detest it. The world hates you because something Jesus did, and that is, verse 19, because I chose you out of the world. You know, you're an elect. You're elect. God chose you right out of the world. He went to the shopping center of the planet Earth and picked you out. I'll take that one, and I'll take that one. And the moment He lays hands on us and takes us and makes us His own, the world sets its heart against us. You live in alien territory. Did you know that great thing we called election, and everybody loved to say, well, I'm elect. Well, this is not a good part of it. This is the part that Jesus is warning us about. He takes us out. I'll take that one. And forever we are marked for the hatred of the world. This is something we cannot avoid. All that follow the Master will taste the bitterness of the world's hatred of Jesus Himself. Are we better than Jesus? If they persecuted Him, they'll persecute us. If they kept His word, they'll keep our word. But the persecution and the hatred of Jesus that we have from Jesus, because of Jesus, flows out of our relationship with Him. He was there first, and all this hatred comes to us. Why? Because of Him. Verse 21. It's personal. It's His name. All these things they will do to you for My name's sake. And not only that, they not only hate the name of Jesus, but they hate the Father. Oh, one day the world will look up, the Jewish people will look upon Him whom they have pierced and will weep. The great theistic body of the Jewish people will find that they've stood against Him whom they have said they loved. Verse 21, in fact, to despise Jesus is to hate the Father. To hate Jesus is to hate the vine and the vine dresser. Verse 22 through 25. I'm going as fast as I can, Stephen. Now, let me read it to you. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He that hateth Me hateth My Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, they would have not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated Me and My Father. Now look, the Scripture is clear. God did not send Jesus in the world to condemn the world. But what did He do? He sent Jesus in the world to save the world. But the world's reaction to Jesus and all that He did is telling. I tell you, it says, look, listen. If I had not come and done what I had done, they wouldn't have sinned. My very presence draws a line in the earth. Jesus has this unique task if I had not done among them the works which none other had done. He has this unique task. He brings a decisive cleaving and drawing lines among men. They have seen and they have hated. They have taken note of Jesus. Let's see. Verse 24. But now they have both seen and hated me. They noted Jesus. Did you know people took note of Jesus? And the ones that those glorious few loved him. But the world saw him, and what did they say? Nah. It's personal. I tell you, one of the things, I want you to know, I could abide a lot in a movie. But one of the things I loathe is when they take the name of Jesus. Have you heard that in movies? Remember when we went and saw the second chapter of Acts, Steve, in Dallas? And who was the guy that sang there at the same time? Oh, good old rock and roller.
Barry
McGuire. And he stood up there and preached, and he couldn't help it. He said, you don't see people saying, oh, Buddha. No, they don't. What do they say? No, Jesus. They take that word and just despise it. They hate the name of Jesus. And if we're going to follow him, we need to know that they've hated him before that hate ever touches us. He took the great brunt of it. They took note. God did not send the world in to condemn them, but I'm telling you, the world sees him and they hate him. And all of this is without cause. And he quotes Psalm 35, and I'm going to read it to you. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, the psalmist says. Neither let them wink with the eye that hated me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful words against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me. They said, ah, ah, I have seen it. Thou hast seen it, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. And then Psalm 69, verse 4. They hated me without a cause, and more. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Jesus came into a world that hated him. Great masses of mankind would raise their fist against him. And will we get better treatment? This conflict, well, by the way, and this is good, I'm going to take five more minutes here. This conflict will continue after the resurrection. In fact, it will intensify as the Spirit is poured out on the earth among God's people. Listen to what it says, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I send to you in my Father's name, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you've been with me from the beginning. As Jesus goes up into the heavens, he will sit at the right hand of God, exalted of all power, name, and authority, and he will pour the Spirit out on men. And he's talking to these men. They're going to hate you. We often think when the Holy Spirit comes, everybody's going to love God. Would you walk in the Spirit today? It'll put you in conflict with this world. And the world will hate you for it. The world will say mean things to you about you. Oh, he's so pious. She's so pious. She's a goody two-shoes. Bunch of snake handlers. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, when He is poured out on His church, will draw a strong line on what's true and what's false. Jesus is the Son of God. And the Father Himself will come among the people of God, and He will bear witness through them about the sonship of Jesus. And the apostles will bear witness. Why? Because they've known Him from the beginning. Now I'm going to say this. It's really important. It's really important. There are some things that happened in the first century that are unrepeatable. It'll never happen again. Those first men that walked with Jesus, the apostolic faith was hugely important. I want you to know the Christianity is built upon the witness of the apostles and the prophets. Men that saw it and heard it and felt it and knew it. And the whole Christian faith is built upon that. And God Himself, through the Spirit, witnessing through them. So, Christianity is embedded in historical facts. And I ask you today, and I would like to say to those who do not believe in Christianity, what happened in the first century? Jesus was born and lived and died and was resurrected. And everything dates from there, doesn't it? Now, why does all this matter that I've said all this? We'll talk about it more next week. But these things I've spoken to you that you should not stumble. Because it's still always a shock. And this little flock will be a despised one, God's people. We need to accept it. We're not better than Jesus. We're going to get it too. And so the only hymn I could come up with, Steve, is Soldiers of Christ Arise, Put Your Armor On. That's all I got. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You that Your Son warned us that there'd be times when we would not be welcomed into the inner circle of this world and this age, and that even we would be despised and rejected just as He was. Father, we embrace this and we know it. We don't look for it. Would never encourage it, but Lord, we know it will happen. And thank You for the warning. So we not stumble when it comes. I thank You, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.